Chapter 7 Summer Love. After that night, Tess tried to avoid Angel, never allowing herself to remain near him for long. She wanted to give Marion, Retty, and Iz every chance to win his attention. July came, and the air hung hot and heavy, sending storms over the vale. One Sunday morning, when the milking was done, Tess and the other three milkmaids had put on their best dresses and were going together to Mellstock Church, which was 3 or 4 miles away. Tess had been at Talbotays for 2 months, and this was her first trip away from the farm. All the afternoon before, the rain had fallen, washing some of the corn into the river. But this morning the sun shone brightly, and the air was warm and clear. The narrow lane that led to Mellstock went along the bottom of the valley. When the women came to its lowest part, they saw that it was hidden under a pool of water. On a work day, this would not be a problem. They would walk straight through it in their dairy clothes. But this was Sunday, and they were wearing their best dresses and shoes. They could hear the church bells calling them, still nearly a mile away. As they stood there wondering what to do, they heard splashing coming from round the bend in the lane. Then Angel Clare was suddenly approaching them through the water. 4 hearts jumped together. He was wearing his dairy clothes and long boots that reached to the top of his legs, and a wide hat sat on his head to keep the sun off. He had come down to see if the rain had damaged the corn when he noticed the 4 women. He knew the water was deep and would stop them from reaching the church. So he had hurried on with an idea of how he could help them, especially one of them. "I'll carry you all through the pool," he said to them. All 4 faces went red with excitement. "I don't think you can, sir," said Marion. "It's the only way for you to get past," he replied. "Now, stand still. Don't be silly. You're not heavy. Marion, put your arms round my shoulders." Angel walked away with Marion's large shape in his arms and disappeared round the bend in the road. They could only hear the splashing of his boots through the water. In a few minutes, he reappeared. Iz dreamily allowed herself to be lifted into Angel's arms, and he walked away with her. When he was heard returning for the second time, Retty's heart beat almost hard enough to shake her. Angel went up to the red-haired girl and lifted her. Then he looked over at Tess, and his lips quietly said, "It will soon be you and me." Her understanding appeared in her face.
"Maybe I can climb round it," she said, when Angel returned for a third time. "You must be so tired, Mr. Clare."
"No, no, Tess," he said quickly.
And suddenly she was resting in his arms with her head against his shoulder. He started splashing slowly back through the deep water.
"I hope I'm not too heavy."
"Oh no, you're like a cloud compared to Marion."
"They are better women than me," she replied quietly.
"Not to me," said Angel. "I did not expect this event today."
"Neither did I. The water came up so quickly."
She talked about the water, but her fast breathing told Angel that she was thinking of something different. It made Angel stand still and turn his face towards hers.
"Oh, Tessie," he cried.
Her cheeks burned and she could not look into his eyes because her emotions were so strong. Angel did not say more. The other side of the pool was reached, and he put Tess down next to her friends,
Then he said goodbye and splashed back through the water. The four walked on quietly before Marion suddenly said in a hopeless voice,
"He likes you best, Tess. We could see it when he brought you. He wanted to kiss you."
"No, no," said Tess. But her heart ached, and she could not hide from herself that she loved him.
"I will never stand in your way," she told them that night in the bedroom. "I don't think marrying is in his mind at all, but if he asked me, I would refuse him, as I would refuse any man."
"Oh, why would you?"
said Retty, wonderingly.
"I can't marry, that's all," Tess said. "But even if I put myself on one side, I don't think he will choose any of you."
"I have never expected it or thought of it," said Retty. "But oh, I wish I were dead."
"I don't care what I do now," said Marion sadly. "I was going to marry a dairyman in Stickleford. He's asked me twice, but I cannot be his wife now. What about you, Iz?"
"I thought that he would kiss me today," said Iz quietly. "I lay in his arms hoping, but he did not. I wonder what she is like, the lady that they say his family want him to marry."
"His family want him to marry a lady?" asked Tess. "I've not heard that."
"Oh, yes," said Iz. "From the same class as him. She's been chosen by his family. A parson's daughter near Emminster."
After hearing this, Tess decided not to hope that there could be any future for her and Angel. For him, it was a passing summer love of her face, nothing more. July passed, and the weather that followed seemed as hot as the young hearts at Talbotays. The air hung heavily over them, and at midday, the world seemed to fall into a deep sleep. They always milked in the fields now, where it was cool under the trees. On one of these afternoons, Angel and Tess sat milking a couple of cows next to a hedge, away from the others. Tess had her cheek pressed against the cow's side. She sat very still and did not know that Angel was watching her. He loved her face so much. Her eyes were so deep, and he had never seen a mouth with those soft red lips to equal the one in front of him. Suddenly, he jumped up from his stool and, bending down, took Tess in his arms. She was completely taken by surprise and fell into them without a fight. Her lips parted and she gave a small cry. He was going to kiss her, and then stopped himself. "Forgive me, dear Tess," he whispered. "I did not know what I was doing. Oh, I love you, Tess. I mean it." The cow turned her head, and seeing two people where there should have been one, lifted her leg crossly.
"She'll kick over the milk," cried Tess, trying to get free.
She rose from her stool, but his arms stayed round her. Tess's eyes filled with tears.
"Why are you crying, my darling?" he said.
"Oh, I don't know," she replied.
"Well, I am relieved that I have told you how I feel at last," he said, "that I love you truly and deeply. But I'll say nothing more now. You are upset, and I am as surprised as you are at my emotions."
He let her go, and a minute later they were milking again. But they both knew in that moment everything had changed for them, whether it was for a short time or a long one, they did not yet know.